Well, how many of you know it is under the blood? Thanks for that good reminder tonight, Morgan. Genesis, please, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Would you stand with me? I'd like to start reading here in verse 7. Now, this will be a familiar area of Scripture, but we're going to look at something that might not be very familiar to us tonight. Genesis chapter 2. Look with me and let's start here in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now drop down to verse 16. So the Lord planted two trees there, right? Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, how many of you know you made a mistake? How many of us have made mistakes? Maybe not quite as far-reaching, the mistakes we make, but this was a huge mistake. Now, do you realize he could have eaten off of every tree of the garden except just this one? Now, there was another big tree in the garden. What was that? Tree of life. If as Adam watched his wife Eve go over and take the fruit off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if he had just walked over and said, put that down, We're not eating that. Catch this. If he had just walked over to the tree of life and eaten that tree, you know what we could do? We're going to live forever anyway, somewhere, heaven or hell. But for Christians, it's heaven. But we could have gotten on a plane tonight and flown over to Israel probably someplace, walked up and knocked on our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother's door and probably had supper with them. Are you picking up on that? Wow, okay. Now I want to pray and then we're going to push the boat away from shore. Father, you're just so incredibly good to us. And we need to be better to you. Now help us tonight to see a bigger picture maybe than we've seen before. And where this runaway stagecoach of humanity is going and what we could do to work with you so it's not so much of a runaway. Now do everything you'd like to do tonight in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Man, I have a lot of questions about the Bible. Like, for instance, I remember the time I had a question about Adam. Did Adam have a navel? Belly button, for those of you that are from another planet. Yeah. And so I wrestled with that for a while. Now, let's take a vote. How many of you say Adam had a belly button, a navel? How many of you said, no, I don't think he did? Well, now the truth of the matter is, how do you get one of these things? You have to be born. Was Adam born? Ah, no navel. Well, I was glad to get that figured out. I don't know if some of you, it doesn't really matter much, and you could probably make it in life without knowing that. But to me, that was kind of an important thing. And by the way, Eve, no navel. Navel-less people. Now, then I got to think of another thing. Okay, so how many of you know that Jesus Christ is coming back and setting up his kingdom right here on this planet? For how long? 1,000 years. Now, are we going to go back to wearing sandals and robes and riding on donkeys? Now, see, I can tell you haven't thought about that. Well, you're only going to be here 1,000 years ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. You better figure that out. Start maybe getting ready for it by wearing some robes and sandals. No, the truth is, now catch this. If Jesus would have been born in God's plan in the 21st century today, how would he have dressed? As long as it was modest, he would have dressed just like you and I do. Exactly. It's not the clothes or the culture, so to say. There's a modesty factor. So I'm just saying to you, no, we won't be going back to sandals and robes. There'll be greater things than airplanes. You'll be amazed. Now think about it. Doesn't this have a good ring to it? President of planet Earth, President Jesus. Amen. Wow. I mean, the capital of planet Earth, Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign from there. That kind of makes me excited. You know what I'm saying? Now, so then I was wondering about something else. So this fruit tree that Adam and Eve ate off of, that they shouldn't have, what kind of a tree was that? What kind of fruit was that?
Apple?
What are you thinking? Apple. And I think most people think it's probably an apple tree. Let's take a vote. How many of you think? Probably an apple tree. And I think that's why they say, you know, Adam ate it and it got stuck. And that's how you get an Adam's apple here or something. Well, okay. Now, by the way, I'm going to make a suggestion that maybe it wasn't an apple tree. And you can walk out here tonight and say, yeah, but I think maybe I still want it to be an apple. And we can still be friends. It's okay. But I would like to share with you why I think maybe it was another kind of tree. And actually, you'll see this particular kind of tree that I would like to introduce to you tonight show up in Genesis all the way down through the entire Bible, all the way to the book of the Revelation. Now, and the reason I want to do this, because to me, it helps me see, if I can see a big overview, then I can understand more clearly kind of the specifics of life. Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance, do you know we're going to have 3 world wars? That's not a maybe. Because once the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, catch this now, God promised them, now there's going to be punishment for that, I'm going to scatter you throughout the planet, but the promise was out of Ezekiel that one day I'm going to bring you back to your land. Now catch this. In our lifetime, May the 14th, 1948, do you realize for the first time ever, Israel was recognized as a nation? Now catch this. World War I got the land of Israel back for the Jewish people. But the Jewish people were scattered all over the planet, and there was no motivation to come back to their homeland until World War II showed up. World War II, who was the main evil character? Hitler. He started persecuting the Jews, and there was a cry that went up among the Jewish people. Isn't there someplace we can go and live in peace? World War I got the land for the people. World War II motivated the people to go back to their land. Now, I've been over there, and here's what I'm telling you. They are not a spiritual people. They do not believe, really, hardly in God, to be honest with you. It's almost like the United States of America, if I'm telling you the truth. They don't believe at all that Jesus was their Messiah. So guess what? God is going to have to take another world war. World War III. And the Bible's real clear about this in Ezekiel that Russia and 5 other nations, a total of 6 nations, are going to attack Israel, kicking off what will be World War III, because all the nations now are going to have to decide whose side they're on. And in the middle of that, God is going to supernaturally step in and bring about the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 38 and a great victory for Israel. And all of a sudden, the Jewish people who only believe in the Old Testament, they'll say, this Jesus was our Messiah. We crucified our Messiah. So it takes three world wars. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now see, to see that, that really helped me understand where we're going in life, where we are right now. Does that help? Okay, so let's get back to the important thing. What kind of fruit tree do you think that was? See? We're still looking for that answer. Now, I'll tell you where I kind of started here. John chapter 15. So if you'd like to go there with me for a second. John chapter 15. Now, John chapter 15, actually 13 through 17 are the actual words of Jesus Christ in those last hours and days of his life on planet Earth as he is praying to his Father. So it's almost like when you read that, it's almost like you're eavesdropping on a personal conversation between Jesus and his Heavenly Father in that traumatic days before he was crucified. So I almost feel like I'm always on holy ground as I'm reading this. So slip your shoes off and let's just look here in John chapter 15 for a second. Verse 1 says, are you there in John 15? Verse 1 says, Jesus speaking, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now this is not talking about losing your salvation, anything like this. But here's what I'm saying to you. As I read that, I said, okay, well now, Jesus said he was the true vine. Well, what's the opposite of the true vine? False vine. Huh. Got me to thinking. So now I want you to go with me in the Old Testament a little bit here. We're going to skip a rock. Ezekiel chapter 15. I'm going to kind of skip a kind of a fast rock, so if you just want to jot these things down. So all of a sudden I began to think, well, okay, if he is the true vine, then there must be a false vine. And God planted two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then I got into Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 2, and the Bible says, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? And I thought, vine tree? I've never heard it called a vine tree. Although, when we were in Germany, and you drive on the Autobahn, you'll see vineyards all along the freeway on the mountainside. Have you ever seen a vineyard once they prune it? It looks like one little stalk. It looks like it almost looks like a little tree there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'd like to tell you what I believe it is. And it's okay if you want to disagree. It's okay. But if you just kind of wait and see where we're going with this whole thing. I believe the trees that God planted in the garden were vine trees. The vine tree of life, and quite frankly, the vine tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the vine tree of death. Isn't that what happened? The day you eat thereof, what will happen? You will surely die. It wasn't physically, but it was spiritually, separation from God. Now catch this. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And then we're going to see if we can find it in Scripture. Does that make sense? So God planted these two trees, the vine tree of truth, life, the vine tree of death, lies. Actually, if you eat off of the tree of life, the tree of truth, Jesus said, what you're really doing, I am the way, the truth, see, and the life. So you're really eating off of this tree of truth. If you're eating off of this tree, a vine tree, what's it do? Vines, they start twisting and forming and crawling around and climbing up stuff. So if you're eating off of this tree, then you're eating off the tree of lies. If you're eating off of the tree of truth, we call that Christians. If you're eating off of the tree of lies, we call that humanism. Humans are trying to figure out life. Christians are figuring out that God's already figured out life. Amen. And he's given us the truth. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, here's where it kind of gets easy to understand, I think. But down through the years, since right here, I think there were literal trees, but I think there were also types. So these two vine trees, the tree of life, the tree of truth, the tree of death, the tree of lies, have been growing together, and down through the centuries, it gets a little complicated because they start twisting, intermingling with each other. How many of you know Christianity, humanism? It gets, and pretty soon it gets a little confusing, doesn't it? I mean, so how do we get so many translations of the Bible? Well, I think somebody is busy on this tree, the vine tree of lies. The Bible calls it a tree, and it's twisting and turning, and it gets pretty complicated. How do we get so many denominations? Yeah, I mean, how does that happen? Well, there are two trees to eat from, and people are still having to make choices which one. Now, catch this. Now, go with me here to Numbers chapter 6, and I'm going to scoot kind of along quickly here. If you're taking notes, just jot down the verses, and you can come back to them. Numbers chapter 6, verse 4 says, you know, like if you're going to separate yourself to God in the Old Testament, you take a Nazarite vow, here's what it says. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree. Oh, there it is again. So I guess God calls the grapevine a tree. And if you look at it, when it's cut back and pruned, like the Bible says there in John 15, it does look like a little tree. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32, again, for a few little verses here, I'm going to ricochet. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 31 says, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom. You know what that is. And the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons. And the cruel venom of ass. So apparently there's a tree that's producing evil stuff. Completely away from the tree of life, the tree of truth, the tree of Christianity. There must be a tree over here that's growing and down through the ages that is introducing sodomites, Sodom and Gomorrah activity, stuff that is causing, it's like being bitten by a snake, the venom of serpents and asps. Does that make sense to you now what I'm saying? Okay, now follow me. So then Hosea chapter 10 verse 1 records that Israel in a time when it was pulling away from God, the Bible says here in Hosea 10 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars according to the goodliness of his land. They have made goodly images. Something was wrong with the fruit in Israel there. Now, I told you I'm kind of going fast. Got a couple more here. Ezekiel chapter 17 describes the workings of the vine tree. Starting in verse 5, Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 5. He took also the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. It wasn't a willow tree, but it was like a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. And you could look at this as the nation of Israel. God's people planted them by a fruitful water hole. And they began to spread. And they have. And the Bible says, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. And that's what a vine does. See, I mean, it just twists and turns and all over the place. We've got two grapevines at our house. And you got to fight those things. I mean, you got to control them. You tie them back and prune them back. And when they're producing fruit, you know, they'll go all over the place. You kind of got to keep them on your little trellis there. So if you can get the picture from Genesis, those two trees, these vine trees, the vine tree of truth, the vine tree of life, the vine tree of death, the knowledge of good and evil, the vine tree of lies, have been growing down through the generations and the centuries. And they've been twisting and they've been turning. By the way, the people who have decided to eat off of this tree have caused a lot of problems for this planet. Do you know that? Now, let's just look for a second. Pretty popular people from the Bible that have eaten from the wrong tree, and what kind of problems have they caused? So go with me here for a second. Let's take a look at some of these negatives. Go back to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I think you'll see this whole thing as we walk down through it. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. Now this is the story of Noah, the huge flood. His boat has finally landed. The Bible says that he was a husbandman, that he planted a vineyard. Okay, now look what it says. Verse 21, Genesis 9, 21. And he, Noah, drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him, Ham. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. How many of you ever read that before? I read and I said, my word. That's some really serious stuff. As a young Christian, I read that and I'm thinking, okay, well now, we've got children. You want to be very careful in the bathroom, taking the showers. I mean, you want to lock that door because apparently, my first thought was, apparently, they see your nakedness, you could have a curse on you. Sorry, that was a little loud. Well, it was shocking for me to read that. And I'm thinking, oh my word, am I understanding this right? In other words, well, I know the Bible's strict, but that just seems awfully strict. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I was trying to figure that out. You know, I was wanting to walk in the scriptures and the truths of scripture, but I'm thinking, and then I'm thinking, well, now, why was it Noah didn't put a curse on Ham? He's the kid that did that, whatever he did. Well, who is Canaan? the curse went on Canaan. What? Now, how many of you know the Bible is its own best interpreter? Okay, well, let's let the Bible do some interpreting. Go with me to Leviticus, please. Not too far there, to the right. Leviticus chapter 20. I'm just telling you, really, the Bible is the best book you'll ever own in your entire life. Don't buy another one. Just read the one you got. Now, here's what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. Are you there? I want you to see this. Now, the Bible says, "And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness." Uh-oh. Actually, those are the exact words out of Genesis that we just read. That Ham went in and uncovered his father's nakedness. What did he really do? I used to think, well, maybe it was a homosexual act with his dad, and that's bad. But really what took place, according to the scripture, and you want to see it before we get out of this. Look with me also in verse 20, Leviticus 20, 20. "And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, and they shall die childless." Verse 21. "And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness." Now, here's what I'm saying. See, when you get married, then your wife's nakedness belongs to the husband. And the husband's nakedness belongs to the wife, nobody else. So really what Ham did, he went into that tent when his mom and dad were drunk. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. You get involved with the wrong vine tree, there's going to be some real consequences. What is the vine tree? It's the vine tree of death. It's the vine tree of lies. Who do you think's in charge of this tree? Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Now, what can a father do? He can reproduce himself. So Satan will find something in your life to help you believe a lie, and from that lie, he will father some more lies. And pretty soon, that vine tree will take you off into the ditch. So, what happened was Ham actually had an incestual relationship with his mother. The child that was born was called Canaan. Have you ever heard of the Canaanites? Now listen to me for a second. Well, here, are you picking up on this? Does this make sense? Okay, now go with me another place. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 33. I kind of want you to see how this thing works. Here's another example of somebody getting involved with this wrong vine tree and the product that's produced by that. Here in Genesis chapter 19, verse 33, God has just sent Abraham to warn his nephew Lot that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible picks it up here in verse 33. And they made, remember Sodom, Lot and his wife and two daughters left Sodom and Gomorrah just as God was raining down hellfire and brimstone, see? And what happened to Lot's wife? Well, yeah, she died because she looked back like she was commanded not to and longed, I think, for that city, and boom, she turned into a what? Pillar of salt. Now, so then Lot and his two daughters escaped that incredible destruction and was hiding out in a cave, but look what happened. Verse 33, "And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father," which is incest, was wrong, "and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And thou go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." By the way, it's never wrong to get a chance to do something right. I mean, it's never right to do something wrong hoping that it'll turn out right. It's just not. So then look what it says. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose, verse 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the father of the Moabites today. And the younger one had Benoni, which is the father of the Ammonites. Now, listen. All the ites besides the Israelites, all the ites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Canaanites, catch this, they were the result of incestual relationships. They were the result of, so to say, drinking off of the wrong vine. So what do you have today? Well, you have a huge war. You know what? Why World War III is coming about? Because God's people, the Jewish people, who were not a part of the ancestral relationships over here, they are on one side, and the illegitimate children are on the other side, and they're fighting with each other. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children, even in their old age. God promised them to have they would have a child. And they thought up a better plan. What was it? Eat off of the wrong tree. Let's come up with a humanistic plan. Why don't you just take, Sarah said, why don't you take my handmaid Hagar? It was almost like artificial insemination today. And you go into her, she'll have a child. He'll become our child. You remember that story? So it was, but it was immoral. It was wrong. It was sin. And so Ishmael is born. Well, if they had just waited. How many of you know sometimes if we would just wait a little bit. Don't rush over here and eat off of this tree. Wait it out. If God said it in the Bible, it is true. It's a promise. Wait for it. So then guess what? Then God supernaturally opened Sarah's womb, and she had a little baby boy called Isaac. Now, those kids back there, the illegitimate and the legitimate started fighting. They had kids. Guess what happened? The ites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Jebusites, all these, they fought against. So I'm just saying to you, look, does this make sense to you? So the confusion, I think, comes. God planted these true trees, and it's okay if you want it to be an apple tree. But what if it was a vine tree? And when Jesus steps up in the New Testament, he says, now I'm the true vine. And yes, you're right, there is a false vine. Now, I would like for you to eat off of this tree, the tree of truth. But since humans are not robots and we have a choice, you could eat off of, like our great-great-grandparents did, the wrong tree. So these two trees down through history, all the way to the 21st century, have been growing. And it gets complicated, intermingling. Well, what is the right denomination? Well, what Bible should we really use? There's so many of them out there. Pick up on this. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now listen. Be careful. It'll be easy to be deceived and eat off of the vine tree of lives. Matter of fact, it gets so complicated today. Catch this now. You can't be born boy or girl. You got to be born maybe something else. How many of you know somebody's been hanging around too long on this? Wrong vine tree. And today it's so confusing. We don't even know what bathroom to go to. That just shows you how stupid it becomes when you eat off of this wrong tree. This is the vine tree of humanism. This is the vine tree of truth. Listen to what Jesus says in the Bible. Now it's interesting. Those are some negative things. And the Bible tells us here, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And then the Bible says, Proverbs 31, 4 and 5, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You know, our poor country, I will just tell you, see, when I was a policeman, I got saved as a policeman. I was a vice detective for a while. And here was my job, plain clothes. I'd go to work every night, and I would hang around bathrooms in the Union Station, the big train station, and I would arrest homosexuals if they propositioned me. You know why? Because it was against the law. It was unnatural affection. I would arrest prostitutes. I could arrest a prostitute if they would quote a price. I could arrest them. I was a narcotic agent. It was wrong against the law to be involved in all the drugs and stuff, because society knew that's just going to do great damage to society and to children and the family structure. We used to go on gambling raids. It was against the law. And then our officials stopped eating off of this tree, and they started eating off of this tree. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I thought it was interesting. We looked at some bad examples of people eating off the wrong, but now I want to look at a good example over here. And you'll find that here in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. I always thought it was very interesting. The last thing that Jesus Christ did with his disciples was something that we even do today. And at first it didn't make sense to me. How many of you in a church have ever received communion? Okay. But where did that start from? Well, here, you're in Matthew chapter 26. Look in verse 27. Jesus did this last time with his disciples. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it, this grape juice, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, was this literal blood? No, absolutely not. See, this was a representative. He said, now look, I am the true vine, and I want to give you a symbol. I am going to introduce this thing called the Lord's Supper or communion. I want you to take this cup, the cup of grape juice from the vine, but it's a symbol. I want you to see something. And he says, for verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He said, now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm giving you this cup of communion. I am the true vine. And my Father's the husbandman. If you will accept this vine tree of truth, then here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that you'll keep the vine tree of truth going all the way down to the 21st century church in Olney, in Flora. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but when you and I partake of communion, you know what you're really doing? You're saying, I pledge allegiance to the vine tree of truth. That's really what you're doing. I don't want this vine tree of lies. I don't want to eat off the vine tree of humanism. I don't want to eat off the vine tree of stuff over here. I want to be loyal and faithful to Jesus because I am the true vine. Matter of fact, he even said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? I have seen faith dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. We are in the Laodicean 21st century church age, and it's a mess. We don't know right from wrong. We don't know what's good and what's evil. Today, things that are evil, they call good. Things that are good, they call evil. How many of you know it gets kind of confusing? Now, you know why? Because these two vine trees, I believe those two vine trees, have been growing and intermingling and twisting, and the prophecy was true. In the last days, there are going to be more people eating off the vine tree of lies and humanism than there is on the other side. Now, do this with me for a second. Take your hymn books. Grab your hymn book. I need a hymn book. Turn to page in your hymnal 679. Isn't it funny? Even today, we right in our hymn books, we sing, thank you, we sing this song, and it really reveals the truth to us. And actually, it's right here in the Bible. Let me read these verses, and then we'll see how they came right out of the Scripture. Verse 1 of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. How many of you know the Battle Hymn of the Republic? Well, just read the words. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Catch this. He is trampling out the vintage. What is that? Grapevines. Where the grapes of wrath are stored. All the people that have been eating off of this vine tree. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Now, go with me to the book of the Revelation and we'll land this plane. The book of the Revelation, chapter 14. That's why I say these two trees, the vine tree of truth, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the life. And the vine tree of lies, the vine tree of humanism, the vine tree of evil have both been growing for people even in the 21st century to make a choice. Now, which one of these trees are you going to eat off of? Our great, great, great mother and father, they made a choice, wrong choice. And it's created incredible problems for us. So, Revelation, are you there? Chapter 14, verse 18. Now, this is this World War III that I mentioned. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden within the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horse's bridle, and the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, if you've ever been over Israel, the Valley of Megiddo is what's talking about. It's 176 miles wide, long. It's got a mountain range all around it. World War III is going to be fought biblically right there. And the Bible says, it's kind of like a fishbowl, mountains all around it. The Bible says that whenever Jesus comes back and marches in there and calls for the angel to take the sickle and start hacking down all those that have eaten off of the vine tree of lies, the wrath of God is going to clean out that mess, and there's going to be pressing of that, and the blood will come up all the way to the bridle of a horse. How many understand what I'm talking about? So the next time you take communion, you should say, well, really what God's asking me to do here as a reminder, do this in remembrance of me. He's asking me to pledge allegiance to the vine tree of truth. So don't take communion lightly. What you're really saying is, I'm making choices to eat off of this tree, and I want to stay away from this tree. Does that make sense? Now listen to me. I'm finished, but I want to challenge you with something. We do have in our homes access to electronic vine trees of humanism. Vine trees of lies. Lie after lie after lie. The vine tree that will wind up killing you. We were reading an article today, and they were saying they thought they might have found something on Mount Ararat that would prove that Noah's ark landed there. Then they said, but for generations, everybody knows that that was a fictitious story. That was a pretend story. Well, if it was pretend, why is it that every culture on the planet, every nation in the planet, has stories and histories, many of them in writing, about that very event that destroyed the planet with a flood? Now, that's where we are today. You never hear on the news anything about God unless they're cursing. Now, I'm just saying to you, you and I have a choice. We can make the same mistakes that our early grandparents did and hang around with this tree. Or we could say, no, I want to change some things in my home. I want to censor what my children are reading. The Bible says, cease, my son, from hearing the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Be careful who you're allowing to teach your children. Be careful what your children are learning. Now, if you don't, then pretty soon it gets so confusing over here. They won't know, well, Dad, I'm your son, but I'm in love with another boy. And your heart will flip-flop, and you'll try to figure out how in the world can, how did we get off the path? Well, maybe because you didn't realize it, but these two vine trees have been growing down through the ages, and they're wrapping around each other. You better make sure you're staying over here and staying away from this. Now I'm finished, but here's the question. Have you bought into some of the lies? Have you bought into some of the humanistic values? Maybe you're not censoring and limiting the stuff in your home that allows humanism and the vine tree of lies to come in. Maybe you ought to censor the things your children are reading, watching, looking at, listening to. If we don't, guess what? Then we'll lose the next generation. We'll be no better than what our great-grandparents were like. Father in heaven, we want to thank you tonight for showing us a big picture that maybe those two trees in the garden were vine trees. And maybe when Jesus said, I am the true vine, Maybe he was one more time trying to get us to make sure we're eating off of the true vine and not the false vine. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, this is pretty simple. If you're here tonight and you know maybe there's just one thing that you're doing or that you're allowing that is pulling you toward the wrong vine tree. Maybe tonight, just with a brave heart, you'd say, with a hand raised in the air, okay, I was convicted. The Lord has brought something to my attention. And I want to yield. I want to start limiting something that's bringing something wrong into our family. Can I see your hands? Anyone like that? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, it could be, you can put your hands down. Thank you. It could be tonight that maybe you're here and you've never thought about Jesus Christ really being the vine tree of life. Maybe you've never personally accepted him as your Savior. Well, the first thing you want to do is do that. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. Tonight, you might want to say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want to pledge allegiance to the vine tree of truth. Let's stand together, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to ask our pianist to come after I pray. The music will start playing, and then if God's spoken to your heart, that there's something that you need to adjust, or maybe you need to pray for someone who needs to adjust something in your family tree, then this would be our opportunity. Father in heaven, so here we stand as a body of believers, recognizing that the vine tree of truth and the vine tree of lies, the vine tree of life, the vine tree of death has been twisting and turning like vine trees do all the way down to this day. Now help us to pledge allegiance to the vine tree of truth.